hopefully you're handed an outline that'll help you with the message that we're going to go through tonight. We'd like for you to have an outline so you can kind of stay on track with where we're heading as far as dissecting and pulling apart this scripture to understand it. Also, so you can write down notes that you can share with someone else, or maybe go back later this week and check for yourself. So we are continuing through Matthew chapter 7, and we realize as we study this Sermon on the Mount, if you've been with us, that Jesus is delivering a guide to living that is revolutionary, and it's mind-blowingly effective. It's not just words. He just didn't just have good ideas. Jesus gave us effective, spirit-filled information, truths that we just didn't know before. He has taken people's beliefs, and he's taken people's priorities and their practices, which were completely upside down, and Jesus has righted them. He has presented spiritual truths, some that were known and some that were unknown, and he's presented these to his listeners, and he's shown them how this is what, how we're supposed to live life by. He has laid out a course that is right side up. He's laid out a way to live life that's functional through the eyes of God and through the power of God. A way to walk through life where you walk through forgiven and you walk through life assured. A way to understand life, to attack life, and to do it with hope and to do it with confidence no matter what happens. And it's a way to succeed in life that is divinely empowered. It's not just your willpower. So Jesus now in the sermon, as we get to chapter 7, verse 7, he explains the process of procuring this new life. Starting in chapter 7, he says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. He says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus really sums up a person's journey with God as a life of asking, a life of seeking, a life of knocking. He says in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. Now when you and I ask for something, we're trying to procure something that we desire. We're trying to get something that we want. I desire a job. I want love. I desire fulfillment. I want healing. And the list goes on and on. Now, on face value, Jesus' promise here, it seems to say we can ask for whatever we want, and we will get it. And let's not forget what good Bible study is. We study what good Bible study is around here. Let's see if this asking for whatever we want we'll get. Let's see if that's backed up elsewhere in the Bible. See if this is true. Look at Psalm 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Hey, this is looking better, gang. We are on the verge of getting anything our hearts desires. All we have to do is rub the magic God lamp. Jesus comes out in a trail of smoke and a vapor. And we didn't ask him for whatever our hearts desire. We just saw two scriptures that say this, and God is going to give us anything we want. Man, am I glad I came to church tonight, Pastor Drew. This is terrific stuff. Keep preaching. Before we seal this up, though, gang, as a great brand new theology that we created here, let's check a little bit more in scripture. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. God says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. Well, this is very informative. God says that when we come to him, when we come to God and we receive him, he puts a new heart in us. Now, we still really have the old heart in us. This old heart, we really got to understand this too. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us this about the old heart, the one we've been having our whole life. The old heart, he says in Jeremiah 17:9, says, the heart is deceitful above all things. And it's beyond cure. Who can understand it? You see, gang, when we come to God, that old heart that we have grown up with and had our whole life, it's kind of smushed to one side, inside of us, and God puts another heart alongside of that one, a new heart. Ezekiel says it's a heart that wants to obey God. And that's placed alongside of the old heart, and they both live inside there. Now back to the desires of our hearts that we're asking for. Remember Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, which one of our hearts delights in the Lord? Our pre-salvation heart or our new heart that God puts in us that longs to follow him? Well, obviously, the answer is the new heart. Our old heart longed for our own desires and asks for things for ourselves. But our new heart, however, longs to follow God's decrees, it says. And it longs to keep God's laws. Our new heart asks and desires for righteousness, for us to live righteously, to do the right thing, and to be obedient to God, to have his desires come about. That's what our new heart asks for. Back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you, for everyone who asks receives. See, gang, the key to Jesus' promise here is, what heart are you asking from? What heart's desires are you trying to get? What heart's desires do you want? Because the two hearts inside of us, they're going to battle against each other. We know that. They're going to battle against each other until the day we see Jesus. That's why we're told. Paul tells us this in Galatians chapter 5. What I say is this, Paul speaking. Let the Spirit, remember that new Spirit, the new heart, let the Spirit direct your lives. And you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. That's the old heart. For what our human nature, what our old heart wants, is opposed to what the Spirit wants. And what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our old heart and old human nature wants. These two are enemies, Paul says. And this means that you cannot do what you want to do. Now, gang, remember, the context of what Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, the context, he is telling them how to live lives that are right side up. That's what he's been telling them to do. He's been telling them how to live lives that function, how to live lives that are forgiven. This is the stuff he's been talking about. He's been telling them how to live a life of assurance and how to live a life of understanding and a life of hope. Jesus is telling them how to live to the new heart, the new covenant. He's not jumping out of context here. Jesus is not telling them how to get anything they want. That is not what he's been doing. He is certainly not telling them that God will give us things we ask for from our old hearts, our self-centered hearts, or as Jeremiah would say, our deceitfully wicked hearts. Jesus is saying this new heart life, this life you have where you follow the new heart, well, it'll be given. You'll be given what you ask for because God's going to give you the power to live that life. That's what Jesus is trying to get them to procure. All that entails will come from the Holy Spirit that God will give us when we ask for it. The ability to live to the new heart, the new life. We ask, as Jesus says, ask. And we ask because we want something. And God wants us to desire his ways. He wants us to desire to live his word. He wants us to desire to do his commands and his decrees, like we read before. Ask for that, Jesus says. Ask to live a life like that, you're going to receive it. So we ask because we want. But next, Jesus says seek. We seek because we have lost something or are missing something. He says, seek and you will find. For the one who seeks, finds. Jesus promised here that if we seek, we can find what we're missing. As we have been seeing throughout Jesus' sermon, he's not talking about shallow, surfacey issues. He's not talking about that. He's not instructing us on how to gain temporal things or possessions. He never talked about that. And he is not focused on our superficial needs. Jesus is digging deeper. He is digging into the deep questions and the basest longings of our soul. He knows, Jesus knows that each of us have lost something. And it's something that we're seeking. Gang, we are each placed into this world and we don't know how. We're placed into this world and we don't know why we're here and we don't know what we're supposed to do here. We live each day, but we're never told the reason for our existence. We're forced each day to make dozens and dozens of decisions, but we aren't told what to base those decisions on. And so we're seeking. We're looking. We're seeking answers to the biggest questions in life. Jesus says, come to me. Seek through me and you will find. You will find how to live life to its fullest. And you'll find how to live life with clarity. Gang, there are three answers, really, that will make your life successful. There are three questions and three answers that will leave your life fulfilled. The first one is this: knowing your purpose in life. If we go to God and seek to know our purpose in life, we will surely find it, Jesus says. Rick Warren is an author and a pastor in California, and he began his book. He started the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, with this statement. You open the book, the first thing you're going to read is this. Remember, The Purpose-Driven Life. This is the title of the book. You open it up, page one. Your life isn't about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment. It's far greater than your own peace of mind or even your happiness. It is far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. Because you were born by his purpose and for his purpose. Gang, before I knew Jesus Christ, I believed and I found my purpose inside TV shows. I looked and found my purpose inside commercials. And I looked and found my purpose in life in music. My purpose must be to live in Mayberry. Oh, that wonderful place. And go to Floyd's barbershop. I want to live a happy, wholesome life with Andy and Opie. And I want to have friends and have Huck Finn adventures. That's what I want. That's my purpose in life. Got it from a TV show. My purpose in life must be to find love in the arms of the perfect girl. A girl who would love me and I would love her. People's heads would turn and follow us as we walked down the street. And they would wish they had what we had. That must be my purpose in life. And then as I grow a little older, my purpose in life must be to create a bucket list of adventures and amusements that would have me circle the globe and bring as much wonder and fulfillment and happiness to a heart as much as it can possibly take. You see, gang, you can do all those things and think that they are the purpose for your life. But those things, as good as they are, they're really the harmonies. They're the harmonies that are there to accompany and to enhance God's melody, the main track for your life. All those things I just mentioned, those are extras. Those are trimmings. Those things enhance the purpose God has for you, but it's a mistake to get sidetracked and think the trimmings are what it is all about. Gang, your purpose in life is to connect with God and to do all that He has planned for you to do in your life and to enjoy the life He has given you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's handiwork. That's who you are. You are God's handiwork. You're His masterpiece. You've been created in Jesus Christ. You now have come to know Him. You have a new heart. You've come to Jesus Christ, and your job is to do good works. And those works aren't just stuff you come up with. Those works which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's where we find our purpose in life. That's how we get answers to the question of knowing, what am I here for? We do all that by really number two, the second question and answer, and that is growing to your maximum potential. If you want to live a successful life, if you want to get to the end and have no regrets, know what your purpose was, and number two, grow to your maximum potential. You are God's handiwork. We just read that. You are His masterpiece. But we must seek to grow. We have to keep growing. We have to develop. We have to mature. It doesn't matter what age you are. You've got to keep growing. You've got to reach full, maximum potential, the potential that God saw in us from the beginning. You've got to get there. That potential, that good work that God has laid out for you in advance, that good work might be being a great husband, a husband who fully helps his wife flourish. That good work that He laid out in advance for you, it might include being a great father who is a nurturer, a protector, a teacher, an encourager, a mentor, and then a sage. Not an I squeaked by as a father, but a father who reached his full potential and became a model of what it is supposed to look like for their children. A model in purity, a model in honor and integrity and righteousness. Reaching God's full potential for you might mean that you learn to play an instrument. Now, we probably wowed you over here. And I want to let you know, we've had no formal training. My mother and father today are sitting fat on the money that they did not spend on our music lessons. Not a penny, right, Mark? I don't know, where, not a penny. Went to music lessons for us. We learned in our bedrooms playing to the radiator. That's how we did it. But I'm glad we did. Each one of us picked up our instruments in our 20s. And we're not very good, but we make a joyful noise to the Lord. Trying to reach your maximum potential. Maybe you're supposed to pick one up. Maybe you're supposed to be up here. Maybe reaching your maximum potential means learning to public speak. Maybe it means that you're supposed to build something. Maybe it's something you're supposed to make, or crochet, or knit. Maybe it means that you're supposed to go somewhere. Or maybe you're supposed to tackle a project, take a course, or an adventure that you've had hidden in the closet of your heart that you never even wanted to think about. Jesus calls you to seek. He says, seek knowing what your purpose in life is. Seek to grow to your maximum potential. And that will lead us to the third thing that will make your life a success and you'll live with no regrets. That through the entire process of seeking, we would be sowing seeds to benefit others. Remember what Rick Warren started his book with, and he's right on the money. Your life is not about you. We have been created for good works that Jesus Christ has laid out for us to do before we were even born. And when we seek to sow seeds in the world, that help others find Jesus Christ, we really find that which was lost. And our seeking takes on a whole new power. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, the Matthew 10, 39, if you want to find your life, if you seek your life, give it away. People who seek things are usually focused on what they have lost or what they don't have. But at the end of each of our lives, at the end, each of us are going to come to the end of each of our lives. We will not be thinking about the things we received. And we will not be thinking about the things that we are going to be leaving on this world. We will be thinking about the things that we have sown into the lives around us. We'll be thinking about those we loved and those who loved us. At the end of our life, gang, we will never be sorry and we will never regret the time we spent reading our Bibles. You will not be sorry for a single second that you spent reading your Bible. You will not be sorry or regret pouring your life into ministry. You will never be sorry and never regret the hours, months, or years that you have spent volunteering and making the world a better place for the other person. And you will never be sorry and you will never regret the love that you have showed to others and the generosity that you have extended. Sowing seeds to benefit others, growing to your maximum potential, knowing your purpose in life. Seek these things. Seek those things that you've lost. You'll find them, and in turn, you will find your life, what you've been seeking. Knowing, growing, and sowing. Finally, Jesus says this, to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, knocking brings with it the impression of persistence, especially in the New Living Translation, talks about keeping on knocking. As we said earlier, Jesus is not talking about a shallow, surfacey life. He's not talking about shallow, surfacey issues. He is offering answers to deep heart questions, and guidance for an entire lifetime. Friends, you will not get all your answers at the outset. When you come to Jesus Christ and you come to his cross and you ask him to forgive your sins and he washes you clean through the blood that he shed on the cross and the Holy Spirit is placed inside you, you will not have all the answers. You will not have it all. You'll be made complete in Christ, but now there's more to it. There's more knocking to be done. There's much to be learned. The day we decided to follow Jesus, that day that you decided to follow Jesus, he opened up a door. And that door leads to a road. And it's a road that will lead you to heaven, the celestial city. And it's your road. It's not quite the same as anybody else's. There'll be people who intersect your road for time and maybe for a while, but it's your road. The desires of our heart that we ask for and the lost knowledge we seek, that'll be given to us, and it will unfold for us. All these things will unfold for us over a lifetime of continued walking, a lifetime of persistence in walking the road to the celestial city and not stopping. God's promises will come by not quitting when you don't get what you want. God's promises will come when you dig your heels of faith in and you remain in Jesus Christ. God's promises will come when tough times come, when friends and family leave you and you're all alone, God's promises will come. God's promises will come when you push on, even when you think you can't go any further, when you think you can't go another inch, and you can't have another day of following Jesus in you, when you push on, God's promises come. And when you fail, the biggie, when you fail and you are embarrassed, but you get back up and you keep on walking, God's promises come. A continued knocking. Nick Woodman was born in 1975. He was born to a well-off family in Northern California, and his family did very well in business. And everyone expected Nick, who was very likable, to be a winner. The kid's a winner. That's it. You can tell. He's a winner. He went to the University of California, and after graduating, he knew that it was time for him to start his own company and prove everyone right by being successful. He borrowed some money, borrowed from his father, he borrowed from his family, and he started a company. And his company, here was the idea for his company. He would sell electronic products. He would sell all kinds of electronics, but he would sell them at $2 over cost. $2. Just going to make $2 on everything. It didn't take long for things to head south. His business started to go under. So Nick started a second company. And this was a company that would market products online for other people. It was called Funbug. And he borrowed more money. And he was a likable, affable guy. So people believed in likable Nick. So much so that he raised money for his company, investors. $3.9 million in investors. Failure was not an option for Nick. Failure is out of the question. But sometimes, friends, no matter how hard you try, sometimes things just don't work out. Nick's companies lost every bit of the $3.9 million. Gone. A lot of it he had borrowed from his dad. He went bankrupt. Nick Woodman was a failure. He got an F. Gang, the lie we often fall for when it comes to failure is that it's the end of our story. It's so big that that's the end of the story. No one will read past that chapter. Well, the lie about failure is that failure is your death. Failure says it's the final word about you. Failure. Stop knocking. Forget that Jesus stuff. Forget knocking on the door. Give up. Come on. You lose. Nick Woodman failed. He was embarrassed. That was the lie. Lived in California, borrowed a surfboard, and went surfing because surfing is cheap, especially if you can borrow a surfboard. But while Nick, the failure, hid from his humiliation on his surfboard, licking the wounds and thinking about telling his dad it was all gone. He surfed. He had a very busy mind, Nick. He decided to try to photograph what it was like surfing. He spent so much time surfing. He wanted people to see what it was like from a point of view surfing. He actually strapped a camera to his hand and tried to show what it was like to surf. No one had done this before. He started to show the footage to people, and people were eating it up all over the coast. They were loving it. So he kept going and going and going. Eventually, he said, I'm going to find a different camera, and I'm going to develop a strap. Maybe he goes everywhere. And before long, he created something called, because he wanted to be able to film something that would kind of show this professional filming on the go. And he said, I'm going to make this GoPro. Today, Nick the failure, personally, is worth $947 million. He's not here tonight. I can't have him stand up for you. Nick, we're Brenton here, buddy. No one cares about the two Fs on his report card, do they? Nobody cares about those two Fs. The old heart inside of you will tell you that you're a failure. But Jesus says, keep knocking. Did that not work out the way you wanted it to? Keep knocking. Don't worry about that F for now. Those are normal in life now. Normal. You see, gang, when Jesus says knock, he isn't suggesting that we rap on the door one time and our world will open up to us. No, Jesus is saying, keep on knocking on the door. No matter what failure tries to whisper in your ear, keep knocking on that door. Jesus closes this section of Ask, Seek, Knock. He closes it by showing us God's heart and how God longs, he longs to give. He longs to respond to our knocking. He longs to respond to our seeking, and he longs to respond to our asking. Jesus says, would any of you who are fathers give your son a stone when he asks for bread? Or would you give him a snake when he asks for a fish? As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. He says, now how much more do you think your Father in heaven will give good things to those who ask him? God has given each of us who have accepted him a new heart. A new heart with good desires. God wants you to know your purpose in life. He is a father who longs to help you grow to your maximum potential so that you can sow seeds to benefit others. So I'm going to ask you to stand and close with me in prayer. Let's close by knocking and asking God to show us what he wants us to do in the life he's given us. Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight, and I thank you for bringing us to this passage where you taught us to ask and seek and knock. Lord, I pray that each one of us would be able to find the answers to those questions, that we would know what our purpose is, that if our life wasn't created for us and it isn't about us, then what is it about? Lord, show us. Show us what our life is about, but help us to do it by seeking you, by seeking to know you better, seeking to spend time with you, to be here, to be in small groups, not to give them a try for a little bit, and then that's it, done with that. Gonna go surfing. Help us to stay. Help us to keep walking the road to the celestial city. Help us not to sit on a park bench and then lay down and eventually put a tent over it and stay. Help us to keep moving forward. And Lord, help us to be people who sow seeds to this world that will show them hope. Help us to point them to Jesus Christ. Through all the good deeds we do, Lord, let us point them to Jesus Christ. Let us never be guilty of being a church that gave people, complete strangers, a better ride to hell. But let us give them the truth that they can find Jesus Christ. They can find life to the full, and they can find out what their life is all about and join us on the journey to the celestial city. Lord, now, be with us as we head out, as we say goodnight. Help us to stay strong through the power of your Spirit through the weekdays, and help us to do all that you've called us to do. I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, who are on this journey and are struggling. I pray that you'd make us strong this week. Let us connect powerfully to your Spirit, not listen to what the old heart says to us about failure or things that haven't gone the way we want them to go. Help us to be strong and to know that you are the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week on Anniversary Gang.